Hi, I'm Caroline. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Caroline.
And so just to sort of to qualify, I came to my first meeting about 14 years ago, and I kind of committed to the program and got abstinent about 12 years ago. And I'm about 10 stone lighter now than I was when I came into program. So that's sort of that physical part of the journey. And just to sort of, you know, the go over a little bit about what it was like before I came into OA. And I just always had a very unusual relationship with food, in that there were certain foods that I could just eat in a very normal way and I would have an average portion and stop. And then there were other foods that I just never had that sense of, oh, that's enough now, I probably need to stop eating that. You know, it was like, well, if one's good, then why not have two or five or ten? There's more left in the packet. Why have I got to stop? And realizing that that wasn't really how other people felt around food. And so quite early on, starting that dishonesty side to come in, it's not all right for me to ask, can I please have five of those? I'll get called greedy or I'll get told no. So what I can do is have one and then go back in the kitchen afterwards and see what else is left and rummage in the cupboard. And, you know, and then it went on from there to, there's not enough food hanging around that I can have. So maybe I need to, like, find money, and then if I've got money, I can buy my own food. And that sense of, oh, I can walk into the shop and buy whatever I like because I've got this money that I've, you know, picked up from dad's coat pockets, or, you know, sneaked out of mum's purse, or, you know. And so it was this real sense of secrecy and sort of knowing that it wasn't really quite normal, but at the same time, it just felt really normal to me, because I just, you know, I can't really remember not having that sense of wanting to eat, you know, those foods that I found comforting and exciting and whatever. I just wanted to be able to have them whenever I wanted, as much as I wanted, and I couldn't really understand why that was not okay. And, you know, as I got older and there was more sort of freedom available to me and I could kind of come and go and nobody was really keeping an eye on what I was doing and what I was eating, you know, it just did really get progressively worse and worse over time. So where, you know, one packet of biscuits was a treat, now it's like, well, that's not enough, I need three. Or, you know, and the quantities of food that I was able to get through, and the compulsion to, you know, wake up in the morning and, what am I going to have today? What can I get away with? Where am I going to get it from? And even on days when I knew that I wasn't really going to be able to maybe eat the way I wanted to till the end of the day, just the thought of that kept me going. It's like, oh, I've got to be at work today. But I know that when I come out, I can go to the supermarket, I can get a bag of binge foods, and I can go home. And I, you know, so that was like, I just was biding my time through the day, get through this bit, get through that bit. And then I can have that sense of almost relief or release that comes from, oh, I've got my food, great, you know. And for me, the other big part of what it was like before recovery was about how I was as a person and how I thought and how I acted and how I looked at life, really. And I can remember, you know, from a really young age, just having this sense of, why do people not do things the right way? I know how things ought to be, and I can see how you ought to be and what this ought to be like. Even like from like primary school, like just judging my teachers, why are they not good enough? You know, my parents, why are they not doing it right? My brothers and your brother and sister, you know, my friends. Having this real strong sense of, things would be all right if people just did it properly, and they don't, and I don't understand why. You know, and I remember like being seven and not getting the part I wanted in the school play, and I walked in and I threw the script on the table and said to my teacher, I'm not going to be in your play because I didn't get to be, you know, whatever. And just this real sense of like, the world should revolve around me and I don't get why it doesn't, you know. And really the sense of, I found it really hard to be, you know, equal to the people around me. Everyone was kind of like a bit better than me, and I found them intimidating, and I wasn't really good enough to be their friend, and I thought they were going to reject me, or not quite as good as me, you know, inferior or superior, you know, with everybody, and kind of how difficult that was as a way of being in the world, you know, and the black and white thinking, if I can't do it perfectly, what's the point in trying? And like up until a certain point, you know, I'd say until I went to university, that was kind of kept in check, because, you know, there were quite a lot of boundaries and rules and structures, and I had to do things a certain way. So even if I found something uncomfortable or frustrating, I still had to do it anyway. And then when I got to like 18 and I went off to university, and I thought, all these annoying people who get on my nerves, I'm going to go off and I can start a new life and it's going to be fantastic. And it, realizing that, oh gosh, when I'm put in a situation where I don't have to go out in the world and deal with all the kind of things that I find difficult, people I find difficult, situations I find difficult, actually my default position is to hide. Hide in the food, hide at home, don't go, don't join in, don't be part of things. And it was really scary because I went from being quite a high achiever, grade A sort of person to like dropping out of university 3 times, you know, trying to get a job, going from job to job to job, and not being able to kind of really settle or feel comfortable anywhere, because I had this food issues going on, and I had also this kind of stuff around how I was as a person and how I interacted with the world that was really difficult as well. And, you know, I kind of knew that there were, that these things were causing me problems and that there was something wrong, and I kind of maybe needed some help of some kind, but I didn't really understand what was going on and how to get that help. So I tried a lot of different things. I tried diet clubs and gyms. I tried, you know, going to the doctors and getting counselling and antidepressants. I tried self-help books, you know, all these different things to try and understand, why am I behaving in these ways that are so sort of self-defeating? You know, my food is crazy and I just can't seem to, you know, move forward in life. I'm just stuck in these cycles and I'm going round and round in circles. And then I kind of discovered OA and had about a 2-year period where I was in and out and in and out. You know, I'd come to some meetings and I'd get identification and I'd hear what people were sharing about how they behaved around food. And I was like, oh gosh, I can finally be honest and say, I do that too. You know, I've gone out in the middle of the night to buy food and I've stolen things from people, you know, and then had to try and replace them and running around and all that kind of crazy behaviour. And then also the stuff around, you know, the thinking and the, you know, the character traits and all that kind of thing that a lot of us share, and getting that real sense of identification, but at the same time thinking, I don't know if I want to do that program. It all feels a bit too much. Those steps look quite overwhelming. You know, can I not find something else instead that's going to be a bit easier? So I kind of had one foot in OA, go to a few meetings, and then go, oh no, I don't think I can do that. And then I'd go off and try, you know, another self-help book or another diet plan, get to a point where it wasn't working, and then come back to OA. And it was this really quite painful cycle. And eventually what happened was is that I did like a big book study. And what I came to realise was, in the book it talks about the difference between a person who just drinks too much and it's affecting their life and an alcoholic. And I was able to relate that to myself as the difference between a person who eats the wrong things, eats a bit too much, isn't really, you know, looking after their health very well, and a compulsive overeater. And that, you know, that somebody who just eats too much, it's quite possible they can just, you know, hit on the right diet plan or the right motivation or the right circumstances and things change for them. But a person who's a compulsive overeater kind of only really has 2 options, which is stay as you are or get a program of recovery. And no one can tell anybody, you know, are you just somebody who eats too much or are you somebody who needs, you know, this other kind of type of help? But I came to recognise for myself, and there was that acceptance of what I wanted was, you know, a third option, which was, I don't have to do all this stuff, but I can be well and happy. And that's what I was really still looking for. And slowly but surely, I came to a point of realising that's not really going to happen. So these are the choices you've got. Which one do you want? And that was quite a hard kind of place to be in, but in the sense I had to be right, backed right into a corner. I had to kind of see that there wasn't really another choice for me. And then I was willing to say, okay, I'm going to really give this OA thing a go then. Even though I've got some reservations, even though I don't really understand a lot of it. And that was the point where I kind of, you know, the penny sort of dropped for me and I really got that commitment to recovery and abstinence. But the thing that I found difficult was, you know, I'd had this compulsion, this urge, this, you know, preoccupation with food all of my life, and I couldn't understand how. It's like, well, then you get abstinent, then you put the food down. I was like, how do you do that? If I've got this thing in my head all the time, it's just constantly you need to eat, what you're going to have, oh, that's really nice, oh, they've got that, oh, there's a shop over there, you could go to the shop, blah, 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 blah. Constantly going on in my head, how am I supposed to not do it? Like, how does that work? And what I realised was that the difference between OA and what I tried elsewhere was OA doesn't just help me kind of deal with that better or battle with it better. It actually helps that voice and that urge and that, you know, compulsion to quiet and write down. But it's not really there. And if I don't have the compulsion, then I can make much more calm and sane choices about what I'm going to do with my food. But if the compulsion is there, you know, I'm quite powerless over that, and I don't really have, you know, very many tools to deal with it. And I was really relieved to realise that wasn't the point of what this was about. You know, it wasn't about just learning to better fight against that craving. And what I was shown was that there were two things really that were fueling that craving and that urge to eat that I had. And one of them was, you know, for me, I do feel like there are certain foods that when I put them into my system, I just want to eat more and more of them. So somebody else can think, oh, I really fancy having some of X, Y, and Z. And they eat it and they go, oh, that was nice. Now I can go and do something else. Whereas for me, if I think, oh, I really fancy having, you know, something for me with a lot of sugar in it, particularly, or really junk kind of processed food, it doesn't take that inclination away. It fuels it. So the more I have it, the more I want it. And the more I want it, the more I have. And the more I have, the more I want. And it just was like this kind of ongoing scenario. It was just getting worse and worse. So I have come into a realization that one part of quietening that voice down and that compulsion is identifying the foods that you react to in that way and having the willingness to let go of them. But the other part of it was the way that I was thinking about the world and myself and other people and how I interacted with the world was the other thing that was fueling that compulsion. Because where I was saying about, you know, not being able to really fit in, not knowing how to deal with, you know, all the grey areas and the ambiguity of life and not being able to live life on life's terms, that was a really painful place to be. You know, I spent my whole time trying to make the world be how I thought it should be, and people and myself, and it's really exhausting, overwhelming and frustrating. And that was the other aspect of what was fueling this urge to want to eat, because something in my brain was going, you know what helps sometimes a little bit is just to go and eat a load of food. That will be good. And so it was this part of me that was kind of trying to help solve that problem. But actually, you know, I was coming to realise that's not really a solution. It doesn't really help in the long run. So if I can address both sides of that, you know, and I can look at, I'm not going to put those foods in my body that are triggering that craving, and I'm also going to be much more aware of my sort of emotional landscape. Where am I at any particular time? How am I feeling? Am I getting overwhelmed? And it was that understanding that, you know, through this program, of seeing that the solution to that was about finding a higher power of my own understanding and realizing the world doesn't revolve around me. I haven't got to come up with all the answers. I haven't got to solve everything. I haven't got to, you know, go around and keep everybody in check and make things work the way I think they should. You know, I'm actually just one more human being. I'm all right, you know, making mistakes and going along and trying to do life the best that I can. And when I have that understanding, you know, that sense of pressure and kind of almost like a pressure cooker building up in me where I just want the food to get that sense of relief and release, you know, that's then taken out of the picture, because I'm kind of realizing, oh, okay, when I open myself up to what I understand as my higher power, that sense of overwhelm, it's all too much, I can't cope, you know, starts to ease. And then it's like, well, my brain hasn't got any problem that it's trying to fix, so then that solution that it's trying to give me doesn't really, you know, isn't really as necessary as it felt like it was before, because I'm sort of all right, you know, I'm going along, I'm trying to do life the best that I can, I'm making mistakes and I'm getting it wrong and, you know, then sometimes getting it right, and that's okay. And so that sense that I had within myself of I'm not okay and things aren't okay and I just don't know how to cope, you know, was much easier. And I think, you know, now it's like, having been in recovery for a period of time and had that experience of continually, you know, working the steps, coming to meetings, working with a sponsor, doing all those aspects of the program that I was told right at the very beginning, okay, these are the things you need to get in place, that you know, I just feel like there's much more of a lightness in me. I'm much more open to people and new experiences. You know, I've got a more of an emotional resilience, so the kind of general ups and downs of life, you know, if things weren't going my way, I just wanted to hide my head under the duvet and not come out and just check out of life. And now I've got much more of an ability to kind of say, you know, it might not be quite where I want it to be, it might not be, you know, quite working out my way, but actually I can still go out there and I can try, you know, and just a sense really that I've got this support structure and I've got people around me and I've got tools and things that I can use, and I haven't got to keep life so sort of controlled and small because I'm so frightened all the time it's going to overwhelm me and I won't know how to cope. You know, I've got this all these resources that I can use, and it just has made life a very different, you know, made my experience of life very different. And you know, I can be more part of my family, my friendships are different, everything has been touched by this experience. You know, I don't have this sense of feeling just so, you know, self-conscious and out of place and I don't fit in, all that kind of stuff. And I just have a real sense of gratitude. And what I love is there's a bit in the big book where there's something about, you know, we're like people who have escaped a big desert, like people who have escaped, you know, a ship that was going to wreck and they escaped disaster, and how grateful and happy they are to have this almost new lease on life, because they thought it was all going to kind of come to an end and now this, you know, this whole other way that I hadn't expected. And I think that's really been my experience. And it's, you know, friends and family and other people, they spent a long time being in pain for me, not knowing how to help me and watching me go through all these struggles. And it's such a relief now as well for them to be able to think, well, no, yeah, pretty much, she's kind of all right. You know, she's doing what she's doing and it's sort of working, you know, it's working. And it's just really lovely to be able to not be such a big worry for them. And they kind of say, oh, I really want to go up to people and tell them, you should do this OA thing because I know someone who does it and it's great. And I'm like, well, you probably don't, I'm not sure that's really the best thing to do. But yeah, so I think I'm just so grateful for my recovery. I'm really grateful that I came across OA, that I, something in me just said, keep coming back even though you don't really get it, and it will click. And yeah, I'll leave it there. Thank you.